Welcome to El Paso Primetime. Information for everyone, especially those who live in the third age.
This is the town and these are the people. This is the town where the people all stay. This is the town and these are the people. That's the way they wanted it. That's the way it's going to stay.
And we welcome you to El Paso Primetime. Today we'll talk about an upcoming 5K run walk that benefits a segment of our community that needs a helping hand. We'll also talk about AIDS Awareness Month and how you can get involved. And there's a new cookbook out from an El Paso author who'll talk about the recipes with her co-author. And these recipes you cook in a blender and you use your favorite beverages rather than just foods. All coming up on this edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu, and I'm joined today by Estela Reyes. Welcome back to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you, Dennis. Always great to be here.
Lots of things happening at Centro de Salud Familiar La Fe. Let's start with the 22nd Annual Father's Day Community Health 5K Run Walk.
What kind of shape are your sneakers in?
Really good, actually.
Good, good, because I expect to see you out there in the crowd nice and early. It's a great opportunity to get out into the community and go for a nice walk or a great run and do it all in honor of your dad. It's our way of saluting our community's fathers, our dads who raised us, our male role models, teachers, those men, uncles, dads, granddads, and those single moms who had to be both dad and mom. All those wonderful folks who gave us a wonderful reason to always look at our fathers with great respect.
It's a beautiful way to not only create the honor that we should be giving our fathers and, as you said, single mothers who played both roles, but it's also a way to give back to the community.
It is. This event, it's our 22nd annual Father's Day 5K Run and Walk. We do it every year at La Fe for 22 years now, this Saturday before Father's Day. And we do it so that we can, of course, pay some respect and some wonderful shine to our dads out in the community, but also to help raise much-needed funds in Segundo Barrio for our kids especially, so that we can offer them quality arts, culture, and education programming.
It's an intriguing way to do it. I know a lot of people have attempted to do 5K runs. Very few of them are successful. This is one of the most successful in the city. And it had to start with something 22 years ago for it to continue to flourish to this day.
Well, it started with, you know, some staff members, some community members who wanted to just find a beautiful way to combine community health and the honor that they felt our fathers deserved and expected and needed to have in the community, a way to celebrate, to come together, to bring community together, and to try and motivate each other to do something wonderful, healthy, and fun for the entire community, involve the entire family. And it's something that we've enjoyed now for 22 years. We have, I could sit here with you for hours and share with you some of the great stories, some that are hysterical, some that are heartwarming and touching, and some that I'll need to tell you off the air about the wonderful experiences that we've had with this incredible event. You know, I'm often told about, you know, some of the early runners, you know, who would, you know, they were some of our HIV AIDS patients from early on in the crisis who, you know, would do this as a way of inspiring themselves and motivating themselves to keep on fighting, you know, for themselves in the community and for the cause of HIV AIDS. And, you know, they were in incredible shape and they put the rest of us to shame. And year after year, in fact, we were just talking about it earlier today at a staff meeting and planning for this. You know, some of our folks who are, believe it or not, in their 90s, who have been coming to this event since day one and show up year after year. And the minute that pistol goes off at 7:30 a.m., they're often running or often walking and they go through the entire 5K trek. And I don't know about you, but some of us can't exactly do a 5K anymore without, you know, getting a little red-faced.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's one lady in particular. I won't say her name. She certainly knows who she is. But she's got to be, I would imagine, in her early 90s or very late 80s. And that woman is in incredible shape. and she'll go from beginning to end and put the rest of us to shame. And you have to look at that with an incredible amount of admiration and think, wow, that is a celebration of great health, a great life. And we should all be so lucky to get to that point in life and to be able to celebrate it with a beautiful run in the morning or a great walk.
And it's so easy to get involved. All you need to do is make sure that you get in on early registration, right?
Early registration is the key if you want to save yourself a good $5. You can register online. That's the easiest way to do it. You go to www.raceadventuresunlimited.com. Big salute out to Mike Coulter and the guys out there at Race Adventures Unlimited. They help us out every year. So you go online and you can do so until about 6 p.m. on June the 18th, and you pay your $20 registration fee. The first 200 registrants will get a free event t-shirt. After that, on June the 19th and the 20th event day, your registration is $25. Now, you still want to save yourself some bucks. What you can do is get 9 of your best buddies together for a group of 10, and you'll each get $5 off your registration fee.
That's a nice
and run as a team, run as a group, run as your with your coworkers, represent your company, represent your UTEP class department or program or UTEP radio station. I don't know, just saying.
Yeah, good luck.
You
in
know. Hey,
this
you know,
out there.
I want to see Louie and Norma and Pat out there, you know, hauling it for a good cause.
Norma will go, and I think Maria will go, but you know.
Well,
yeah, I know.
Jury's still out on Louie and Pat. All right,
it's a
you
Saturday.
Two. All right.
Yeah, they're married.
I'm going to hold out hope for those two. But that's the way to do it. Or you can also stop by the Lafay Culture and Technology Center and register in person. And we are located in the heart of Segundo, right at 721 South Ochoa in the rear building, right behind the Lafay Child Adolescent Wellness Pediatric Clinic. And just come on by Monday through Friday between 9 and 6, and we will sign you up. Again, $20 until June the 18th and $25 thereafter, unless you get 9 of your best buddies together, and then you can each get a $5 discount.
And this is happening on Saturday, June 20th, starting at 7:30 in the morning. I would suggest getting there an hour early to warm up, get hydrated, and get ready to go. But you also have something else coming up after the run.
We do. And you know, we mentioned it earlier. We talked about, you know, some of those early runners as part of the 5K event. But June is National HIV Testing Month. And specifically, June 27th is National HIV Testing Day. It's a date that has been locked into the minds of healthcare advocates for almost 30 years now, since the very beginning of the HIV crisis. And when we all realize that if anything is going to help protect you, other than good, you know, prevention, regular, you know, sexual safety, condom use, those kinds of things, it's early detection. I can't begin to tell you how many of our HIV patients I have spoken to, and the conversation usually goes something along the lines of, I wish I had known sooner so that I could have gone into medication earlier. I could have avoided it, having gone into full-blown AIDS. I could have avoided all the pain, all the suffering. Believe it or not, folks, HIV, if it is detected early enough, if you go into medication and treatment early enough, you don't have to develop full-blown AIDS. In fact, you probably won't. You can stave off the development of AIDS for years. I could sit here and tell you about some of our patients who have been HIV positive for nearly 30 years, and they look better than you and I put together. They live wonderfully normal, healthy lives, marriages. They have incredibly productive jobs, careers. They have happy children. They have had happy children, beautifully happy and healthy children since having been diagnosed. It can be done, but again, prevention, treatment, and education are key to being able to survive HIV/AIDS.
And the one thing that I want to express to the audience, too, is that this is not just an LGBTQI.
Oh, definitely not.
This goes into mainstream deeply.
Completely. And actually, we have an event that we are going to be holding on June the 27th. We're going to be having an open house at the Lafay Care Center. That is the West Texas region's largest HIV/AIDS treatment, education, resource, and medical services center. It is the region's only Ryan White Certified ACT HIV/AIDS center in the entire West Texas, Southern New Mexico region. And we're going to be opening our doors to a facility that is normally only able to offer services and open its doors to people who are already diagnosed and living with HIV/AIDS. If you are listening, if you are somebody who has been wondering, where would I go? Where would I go to get information? Where could I go to get free HIV testing? Where could I go to sit down with an HIV/AIDS treatment professional and have an open, honest conversation, either for myself or where I could take my teenager, a young person in my life who is in need of correct and reliable information and education to talk, to learn how to save their lives or save the life of someone they care about. And come and enjoy the day with us. Walk through our facility, meet our doctors, meet our social workers, meet our staff, and talk about HIV. That's why we take this opportunity of National HIV Testing Month to encourage people, get tested, get aware, take control, find out and learn your HIV status, because knowledge is power. And once you know your status, if you find out you are HIV positive, now you know what you need to do and where you can go to get treatment and get healthy and get better. And if you're not HIV positive, if that's your result on the day of your test, wonderful. Congratulations. Be grateful. Be thankful. Feel blessed and learn how to stay HIV negative. That's what you need to do. But more than anything, we need to talk about this. We need to get our local media talking about this. And I'm hoping to have some great conversations in the next couple of days with local news directors to have them help us get the word out there and get parents talking to their kids, get kids talking to their teachers, get couples talking to each other, and get the community just saying the words that so many of us are afraid to pronounce.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the first steps is coming to this radio station and reaching out to an audience that sometimes, let's be frank about this whole thing, this audience sometimes like to stick their heads in the sand like ostriches and say it doesn't happen in our culture.
It happens, yeah.
It happens in every culture. It has no boundary. When is this happening again?
Saturday, June the 27th, which is, I believe, 2 weeks from today. Mm-hmm. And it will be from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the La Fe Care Center, and that's located at 1505 Mescalero. The phone number to that facility, if anyone should want to call for more information about this event, or just to call and say, hey, I'd like to come in and get a free HIV test, what do I need to do? You would call 915-772-3366. Again, that's 772-3366, and ask for a free HIV exam.
And anyone looking for landmarks in order to get to this location, it's right across the street from the now-closed Lone Star Motel, right in back of the tire shop mm-hmm. at the corner of Mescalero and Montana, mm-hmm. right before you get to airport. So don't make that left-hand turn, make a right turn instead on Mescalero.
Mescalero is where that pedestrian bridge is.
Yes, absolutely.
Right across there.
We'll do this again, mi casa, su casa.
Thank you.
On the line with me this afternoon, I have Yvette Marquez Sharpnack and Viani Rodriguez, two well-known Latina bloggers, two well-known Latina chefs, two well-known authors, and I'm very privileged to have, ladies, you guys on the air today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having us. Thank you for having us. Nice to be here.
I have to tell you, when you wrote the book Latin Twist, did you know exactly how far-reaching this book of recipes was going to go?
It was a good geography lesson for both Vianney and I. So it was fun to really research, you know, all of Latin America and really understand the history behind very common spirits in those areas and the ingredients. So it was a really fun journey for us just to learn as we researched and tested a lot of cocktails.
There's a cocktail that I like already from Puerto Rico, the coquito, the coconut and eggnog. And I'm sure this is one of those. Is it that common in Puerto Rico like Manhattan would be here in the States?
Oh, yeah, it's very common, very traditional. So we knew that one was going to be a hit with our readers. I'm glad you liked it.
But, you know, when you choose the recipes for a collection like this, you also have to take into account the types of meals that you want to have with this, or the types of botana or snacks or whatever, right?
Right.
So between the two of you, Yvette, you grew up here in El Paso. Vianney, you grew up down in South Texas, so you have a different perspective of Mexican food, a more a regional style of food than what we would have up here close to Chihuahua and all that, right?
Yes, yes. We're very, we're a mix of Mexico, since I live 2 hours away from the border, and then we're very heavily on Tex-Mex. So we took that into account of what cocktails we should have. And we have cocktails for holidays, cocktails for parties, cocktails for two, for romantic evenings. So we did a lot of research, and we try to hit every meal that, you know, festivity you have with your house, at your house with your friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I noticed the chaqueta, the coffee, the grown-up coffee, if you will, because it's got a little bit of rum or... What's I don't know this liquor. Aguardiente?
Yes, and it's what we tried to do in the book is a lot of these liquors, you know, they're very regional to that area, mm-hmm. and so they might be difficult to find in our own local store. Mm-hmm. So we always try to give a substitute, and rum makes a great substitute for this chaqueta. So it's basically, you know, coffee with a kick with a little sweetened light brown sugar. So it's super tasty and kind of dangerous because of that kick of rum that you don't really taste, but it's there.
You got to love that kind of a kick, too. Well, you know, the way I'm looking at the... at this whole revolution, if you will, of new recipes, and what would be the most favorite ones that you want to share with audiences wherever you go, both food and beverage?
Well, mine, I always stick to flavors that remind me of home. So when it comes to a meal, it's always enchiladas that I crave.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom is still famous for her green enchiladas. And my grandma, every Friday, would make her red enchiladas. So I can live on enchiladas if I had to. And when we were coming up with the book for Latin Twist, since we're both of Mexican descent, there's that chapter of Mexico is a little longer than all the other chapters because it was so hard for us to really eliminate some of our favorites. So in there we have a couple of beer cocktails that I'm sure you know, the michelada and the chelada, which go so well with a spicy meal and just really great for the summer. So it's an easy beer cocktail with the chelada is just with beer and fresh lime juice with the rim of salt and lots of ice, and it's just so refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree. I do agree. And, you know, I have run into a couple of places here in El Paso, surprisingly enough, that know how to ruin a good michelada.
It's true. You never know. You know, it just depends when it's a michelada and it's going to have that tomato base. You know, it's people are very picky whether they like clamato or whether they want it with V8 or whether they're using Worcestershire or Maggie. So there's so many variations of making it, and V&A and I were really testing them out and making sure that we both like the flavor combination.
We really nailed them, yeah.
Yeah. And luckily we were on the same page with what we liked, so we have similar tastes.
I think a lot of the cocktails too. I have a big South Texas based fan base. So if they're, you know, a lot of people have been like, oh, I really want to try this, but I'm not sure. Or I've, you know, I they're not wanting to jump, you know, to be a little adventurous, I'm always like, well, you know, try the Spain, the Agua de Valencia. We're known, you know, South Texas is known for their citrus,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm like, you know, pick up some oranges, you know, some local valley oranges. Try it. You never know. And I've had a lot of response to where they're like, oh, I really tried this, you know, because they're very, Texas is very proud of their produce. So if you give them a little push with, oh, you know, it'd be great with a ruby red grapefruit or, a, you know, a sandia, they're very open to that. I think this book is going to help a lot of people. You know, it's very, we made sure to do it very easily. We're not ourselves bartenders and mixologists, so we want to come across to where cocktails are accessible and they're very easy to make at home to celebrate. So I think this gives a lot of great tips and tricks to how to host a great cocktail party at home.
I agree. And one of the drinks that are in here, and I'm sure there are several of them, I haven't had a chance to go through the entire thing, and I really wanted to. I wanted to go through the whole collection. But one that really captured my interest is the sangrita, the non-alcoholic thing that sits inside the cucumber.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that because you realize that you know, in especially in our culture, the way it's now constructed, where we're teaching the kids how to drink responsibly, but we're also teaching the kids how to best enjoy a meal, not just wolf it down and go home. You know, we want them to have the full dining experience. And I think drinks like the sangrita help cultivate a little bit of sophistication as they grow older. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, the first time I ever had a sangrita, it was, I believe it was like Mazatlan. And when they said, would you like a sangrita, I was thinking sangria, because I have obviously, you know, I was like, oh, I think he's saying it wrong. I didn't realize what it was. And then I just was like, sure, bring me one. And so it was so cute when they brought it, and then, you know, they brought the tequila on the side, and it was so new to me. And so when we came up with this recipe, we just, you know, wanted a different vessel for it and just having making it an experience because it is so unique and just, you know, it's a, you know, non-alcoholic drink, but with the side of tequila, if you choose,
right.
Then, you know, you can serve it as a little appetizer or, you know, having it in that cup like that and letting your children try it or your, you know, your teenager have fun with it. And then the adults can have their tequila on the side.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm also thinking about the tepache. I didn't even know that was the name of it, but I could tell you that that's one of the drinks I used to have with my grandmother when we would go to Ciudad Juarez for shopping on Saturdays. The tepache is just a wonderful pineapple drink that has this real, to me it was very rich and very satisfying, especially on a hot day like what we were having lately, 100 degrees just about every day. So you all have done so much research. Do you have more in order to put out a second volume?
I'm sure V&A has some sneaky plans up her sleeve. I call her the Margarita Queen. So she would be able to come up with lots of margaritas and have a complete book that I think people would love.
V&A.
It's so funny because that's how we met. We initially met because she visited my blog for a cocktail, and she was like, oh, I love your cocktails. I was like, oh, I love your cocktails. So we came together over cocktails. That's how I like to say that we met, because we both enjoy wonderful cocktails. So I don't know. We were talking about it the other day. I think there's another one in us. We're not sure yet.
Muy Bueno Cookbook, by the way, is such a wonderful read as well. It's a great companion to Latin Twist, and Latin Twist is a great companion to Muy Bueno.
Thank you.
It's a wonderful set of collection. Ladies, I don't know what else to ask you. I mean, I'm just enthralled by listening to how you worked on this collection and just kind of like picked each other's brains and said, here, try this.
It was fun. It was a lot of sticky floors with produce everywhere and liquor bottles everywhere and lots of yard sale glasses and it was just fun. We had a fun time styling every photo and trying to come up with his recipes. And, you know, we did a lot of our own recipes. Not only are there a lot of classics and traditional recipes, but there's some recipes that we came up on our own, influenced by that specific country. So it was fun to collaborate on together.
Mikasa Sukasa, you know that any time that you want to talk about recipes of any kind, it's a, you know what I would love to see, to be honest with you? Have you ever thought about doing a recipe book for kids?
I have. That's always been one of my things I've always talked about, because remember Scratch and Sniff books?
Yeah.
I always said, like, I would like to have scents that remind me of my childhood. But I always think, okay, those scents today might not be as popular as they were so loved for me. You know, flour tortillas or roasted green chile or my grandma's garden when you smell the fresh mint or manzanilla. So all of these scents that just bring so many childhood memories. You know, I thought it would be a really cute illustrated book, and to have it a Scratch and Sniff book would be so cute.
I think that would be a really neat little project to do. And if you collaborate with V&A, I have to ask you again, you know, you talked a lot about South Texas and the citrus and all the produce and everything. What's the most unique Mexican or Tex-Mex dish down there that we probably don't have here in El Paso?
Oh, my goodness. We do a lot of mollejas, sweet bread. We do that. We do them glazed in tamarind. We also do, we were talking, you didn't invite it. There's a lot of similarities, but we do different types of, our enchilada gravy is a little different over here. It's a little thicker.
Mm-hmm.
It's made with more red chile and spices. Other than it for Valley Lemons, they're very popular down here, and our Ruby Red, so we use that a lot in our barbecues. So we do a lot of barbecues down here.
Already you have me peaked again. I lived in Corpus Christi some 30 years ago and never really got the full Monty, so to speak, of Mexican food in the upper end of South Texas. I never got a chance to go down to Brownsville.
Oh, Brownsville. I mean, and we do a lot of seafood. We're big on fish, shrimp, and oysters.
Mm-hmm.
But Corpus Christi is changing. Every year it just gets bigger and better. It's so beautiful out there.
Wow, I need to go back.
Uh-huh.
Well, ladies, I can't wait to see you down here June 20th from 2 to 4 over at the Barnes & Noble, Fountains of Farah, for your book signing on Latin Twist. And, of course, once again, Mikasa Sukasa. So anytime that you want to talk recipes, food, drink, whatever, I'd love to have you back.
Thank you so much, Dennis. We appreciate you inviting us to be on your show.
Thank you so much for having us. I'm so excited to go to El Paso. It'll be my first trip there, so I'm looking forward to it.
I think you'll love it.
Thank you so much for having us.
Deidre Westenhauser is our executive producer for El Paso Primetime. She also recorded and edited the show. Information on this particular episode of El Paso Primetime will be up on our website, ktep.org, soon. Have a wonderful weekend, and thanks so much for listening to this edition of El Paso Primetime.